Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of WhoPod. My name is Blair Beveridge, and thank you for once again joining us here this evening. Tonight's guest, take two, the missing episode, Jim Dagg. Now, Jim is a game designer by trade. He used to be into software design, and he packed it up and decided to go for the dream. And he's a game designer. He plays in that RPG world, and he loves food. We talk about food on this episode as well, and these are all things that appeal to me. Jim was on my Overwatch team that we played in the Team Human Overwatch tournament a couple weeks ago, and that was a lot of fun. Big ups to Jody for running that. And I forgot to promote Basic Adventuring 101 at the end of this podcast, so I'll promote it now. Please check out Basic Adventuring 101 at basicadventuring101.com or at the YouTube channel Cake Gollum Productions. We are currently airing the first season, and I think 5 episodes have aired now. We got a few more left, and hope to see you there. So once again, let's dive into this WhoPod 16 with our guest, Jim Dagg. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of WhoPod. Past episode of WhoPod, a WhoPod that disappeared and has now reappeared.
We got a TARDIS.
We do have a TARDIS. It is very Night Valian.
Yeah, they forgot to plan for my time bending powers.
We did. On this week's show, we have ourselves once again, though this will be the first time you're hearing him, Jim Dagg. Welcome, Jim.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, Jim, for people that may know you via the socials and or the Human Overwatch tournament, which we competed in 2 weekends ago, I believe, now?
Yeah.
What would they know you online as?
All right, so the screen name you'll see there and on Twitter and such is TheAgentZero. And, I mean, if I have to explain it, I suppose I can.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Of course. All right, so way back, like freshman year of college, I had joined my college's anime club. And the thing that got me about anime is I barely even know what's going on. Like, why are we fighting giant bugs, and why does everyone have giant boobs and lasers flying everywhere? So I decided to kind of do a reactionary parody to it called Versatile Agent Zero. So you know the guy in anime that always shows up, the faceless mooks that are like in the suits with the sunglasses and the gun, and they're just there to do their job? Mm-hmm. That's basically this guy. He's the protagonist, and he's just going into the various anime worlds trying to figure out what the hell.
As somebody who has a YouTube show where I watch anime and pretty much say what the hell in a variety of different ways for about half an hour, I empathize with this. This is something I get.
Yeah, and the name stuck. I mean, I can only change usernames so often, so...
It's funny because I had an online moniker, and you see it when I play Overwatch,
mm-hmm.
in Nightmare, and I've been going by Nightmare. I went by Dice for about 6 months until, like, I did it for, like, chance type thing, but everyone kept thinking I meant Andrew Dice Clay, and I hated that guy, so I was like,
oh my God.
I need a new one, so I went with Nightmare, which was the name of my favorite board game. So that's the name I've been going with since '90s. But I made a decision about 4 or 5 years ago that I was like, look, I'm just going to use my own name because everything I put out there, I want to be attached to me. I don't want people to feel like I'm hiding behind anything. And that's not to say anyone shouldn't hide behind monikers. Like, there's 101 great reasons to do it. But I made the decision, with very few exceptions, and Overwatch is definitely one of those exceptions. I play a lot of multiplayer games where my name comes up, and I just sometimes don't want to have that conversation. Like, why are you using your actual name? I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. So with Overwatch, I made the decision not to do it.
But otherwise, you kind of have the idea of, I'd like to stand behind what I'm saying and who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a conscious decision. It's like, well, what if someone wants to go ahead, dox me? You can figure out I live in an apartment in Mississauga. Congratulations. You know, white guys don't get doxed. That's not how this game works. And if that ever gets to the point where we start getting doxed, well, you know, maybe the world's taking a turn for the best. Who knows? But I'm not that special, and I'm not that important, so I don't care.
Oh, we love you.
Everybody's important, Blair. God.
God. No, I don't know. I haven't experienced the internet hate yet. Like my buddy Elias, former guest Elias Thompson, he got the first comment on his YouTube video that told him to go kill himself, and he's like, "Now I've made it."
Yeah, I saw the comments on that. I've arrived.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, you know, part of me is hoping I will never get that message, but it is a little bit of a cred thing to be able to have somebody to tell you to go somewhere.
To have haters.
Because you have to be popular enough that the haters take notice of you in order to hate on you, or else what's the point?
Right.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm a Canadian and I'm immune to haters. I don't know.
Just go to Montreal. We all know that they all hate everybody there, though.
That's actually a very astute point. I wouldn't even say Montreal, but the province of Quebec in general, there's some interesting pockets of Quebec, and I have family in Quebec, and I love the Quebecois, but there's some people in some places that if you don't speak French, they want you to leave their country. So
they've got their opinions of you.
They do, and you know, we had a family reunion probably about 20 years ago, and it was up in we call it separatist country Quebec, because there's a subsection of Quebec that clearly wants to separate from Canada, much like Brexit. And up there, if you don't speak French, they don't even talk to you, or they're very rude towards you. And I went to the family reunion up there, and it was an experience.
That's one way to put it.
I mean, I've only met most of those people once, and I'll probably never see them again. And I couldn't tell you who they were if I saw them now. But with very few exceptions. I got first cousins and an aunt that lives out there. So enough of that, though. Let's get into your who cred, shall we? So let's talk about it.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I am not exactly swimming in who cred. But I mean, like, you know, one of the things that really draws me to Team Whom, and actually you can see it in the description of the Facebook page, is, you know, lurkers welcome. Like,
right.
It just, y'all seem like great people that I have the opportunity to just jump in and be part of. You might have seen me put up a couple of games for testing. We can talk about those later, but yeah, I just I'm the guy who shows up and designs RPGs. As far as how I got into Team Human, of course, Geek and Sundry was the big rollout from way back, which introduced me to tabletop and also to a couple of the Geek and Sundry shows that are more up my alley, which were Co-Optitude and Titan's Grave.
Right.
And through those, I met the streams, then Team Human, and now here I am.
Pretty cool. I always love hearing these stories, and you know, there's a lot of different infection vectors. The Guild, Critical Role, these are two very popular ones. I know a lot of people that I interact with in the human community are very, very big critters.
Oh yeah,
well.
Actually, one of the things I'd recommend is if you've watched a lot of Critical Role, definitely look at Titan's Grave. And if you watch Titan's Grave, and if you haven't seen Critical Role, definitely worth switching between the two, because you basically have two different views of it. One is sort of the, you know, nuts and bolts. Here is how playing a role playing game actually is in Critical Role. And Titan's Grave is a tightly edited. It's like if you were going to play an RPG, that what you see on that show is what you would tell your friends a couple of weeks later after you're done and just singing its praises.
So, Joey, you're a resident role player.
Okay.
I'm giving you that title. Wear it, earn it.
Okay. I Joey Couture, resident role player. I doth answer you.
Do you watch these or any other of the role playing shows that are on the internet?
So, I've heard of Titans, but Critical Role is the one that everybody is flapping at the gums about, and I feel really, 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 really bad because I haven't watched any of Critical Role, and not because of a lack of interest. Long story short, there's a lot of things happening in the background that I'm involved with, and everything's rushing and changing, that I have to keep changing certain schedules on certain things. Like, I'm lucky now if I can keep up on Major Crimes, and they're only on their fourth episode this season, and I've had to watch, like, days later. So Critical Role is on episode what?
70?
60 now. So I do plan to watch it, especially like what I want to do is I want to set it up so that I can be watching it while I'm crafting something at the same time.
Oh, kind of do like a podcast kind of thing?
Well, no. So like I can keep it within the same visual spectrum of like I'm crafting, but I can, it's still like the screen at least is still visible within what I'm doing, and that way
like,
I can also hear it
like
at the same
Warcraft
time.
Crafting.
Yeah.
I got you.
Well, no, I'm not crafting like that. I'm talking like, you know, like, you know, Andy Tarix, who actually just sent me my pink Enrico.
Oh, that was bomb.
Yeah, for those who want to see it, check out Joey's Facebook page.
Yeah, I also posted him on Twitter. He's now on this lovely plush orange and purple couch in a nice display cabinet.
There you go. Andy Tarks.
He is nice and comfy. But no, I have not gotten to see, long story short, basically, like we learned from last time I talk. No, I haven't been able to watch it yet. Because unfortunately, sometimes my schedule isn't able to line up with Critical Role, and every now and then, like I'll still miss like a Twitch stream from Felicia, and along with Vaginal Fantasy, they got one day a month, and even then, I still managed to miss the last one, and I still haven't caught up on it. So I'm just like, life, stop it.
I used to watch my YouTube feed on a daily basis, and I would look forward to certain show showing up on certain days. Now, a lot of the content creators that I watch are putting out videos sporadically, and you know, it's different now. I'm a lot busier than I've ever been in my life as well. So I totally understand. I mean, it's not a lack of desire, and you know, when it comes to Critical Role, when I'm available, I'm moderating Critical Role. I'm not really watching it, so, and because it's the big night, it's an all hands on deck night, so. If I can make it, that's what I end up doing. The chat goes so damn fast that I don't even pay attention to what's going on in the show.
I will say this, though. The opening intro that they have,
so good.
Oh my God,
so
I'm in
slick.
Love with it.
It is so very good. And it's also pretty cool for me because I'm a big Blind Spot fan, so I get to see Ashley Johnson, who plays Pike on the show, do her thing on Blind Spot. And she's actually my favorite character on Blind Spot, and that was... before any of this stuff happened. For me, she's the girl from Blind Spot that's on Critical Role as opposed to the opposite. But no, with Allison, she actually repped her character, Pike, on one of the last episodes of Blind Spot. They're talking D&D, and someone, one of the characters made a joke about who she's playing. She's like, no, I actually prefer paladins. And I'm like, oh, sort of ideas. Like, that was pretty cool. But anyway, enough about that. So, what is it that you do, Mr. Dag, when you are not speaking to us on WhoPod?
So, I used to be a software developer, but the world of software development in terms of just commercial and, you know, custom products just wasn't for me for a variety of reasons, and I'm sure I could rant about that for an hour, but that's way out of scope. Actually, these days, I'm a professional game designer. I got a really lucky break that my lovely now wife is in a position that she makes enough money that, you know, she's willing to let me take a chance on it. You know, no kids, no debt, and now's the time. So I'm working on setting up my website and doing a couple things and hopefully going to make a career out of this.
You know that now that you've acknowledged... hey, I have no kids, and you've acknowledged, hey, no debt to the universe, you know that's going to come back to bite you in the ass, all right?
Well, I mean, life is life. It's going to happen. Like, yeah, nothing ever stays calm for long, which is why I'm taking the opportunity now while I can. But yeah, doing role-playing games, might do a few video games. I used to do them back in college, but none of them are very good. But we'll just have to see what happens there.
That's pretty awesome, man. I think I might have mentioned this the first time we did this, and perhaps not, but either way, they haven't heard it. My father made a board game when he was probably about 22, 23, and he just recently told me about this within the last 6 months, and he was explaining the game to me, and I kind of looked at him and I'm like, Dad, that's actually really good. You should do that. You're retired now. You have, you know, some disposable income. This is something I think you should do. Sort of idea, but I love building things. I love creating things.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have that level of detail attention that is needed for a game. And the moving parts, it all have to synergize. That's the key thing right there.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to get into the trap, like, where people try to... They make their first game, and it's their magnum opus. Like, you know, I'm one developer. I've never made a game before in my life. I'm going to make an MMO. God, please. Or I'm going to make the D&D killer. No, please don't. Like, I know you want to, but that takes so many resources and so much time. You've really just got to scope something and make the simplest damn thing that can work and still is fun.
But who really wants to kill, like, D&D? D&D is ingrained in our culture. It's like, there shouldn't be a card game that kills Magic. There shouldn't be a RPG that kills D&D. You should just do your own thing in your own space.
Oh, exactly.
Don't try to take the giant down, if you will.
Well, I mean, it's like they say, everything is a remix. That's one of the things right. That I know RPGs had a hell of a time doing back in the 90s. Ron Edwards, who is a big... You know, I guess you could call him a scholar of RPG theory. I used to call them fantasy heartbreakers because it was basically, this almost does something cool, but like they just try to make things way too complicated or decide we're going to tell the same damn story that D&D told over and over again. Like D&D already does D&D better than you could ever do. You've got something else to say. Why not say it?
Exactly.
For those of you listening at home, who may not know this, this is not the first time we've had to that we've gotten to speak to Jim. And when we got to speak to Jim last time, a certain game had not been released yet. And now that it has, I wanted to throw my two cents worth in. I wanted to see what Jim thought about it, because a lot of people with, you know, RPGs and tabletop, it becomes more about the story and you're generally creating a story, you know, from scratch or sometimes on the fly or you've pre-planned one. A lot of people now are going outside for the first time, like more often than not, and they're playing Pokemon Go, they're getting exercise, and they're meeting people and they're like sharing each other's stories on how they got, you know, into it and whatnot. Do you think that that's like a new level of, like, gaming, Jim, or what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's playing a game right now, Blair. What are you doing?
It might have been something called Pokemon Go you were just talking about. I know. Some background
oh,
music.
Oh, yeah.
We converted Blair, by the way, Google Goggle.
You
one
did.
Of us.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, I caught a Pikachu. So
bite me. That. I know the hack on how to get one. I'm sorry, Jim. I totally asked you a question. We just totally steamrolled it. Here's the thing. For those of you who don't know, here's a little tip. If you want Pikachu as your starter, you have to ignore the first three. You have to keep walking around at least four times to get them to be ignored. And then the next time that they pop up, Pikachu pops up. So oh, I'm going to hate you, Blair.
I love how he just says it on command.
I'm going to hit him so hard.
But, all right.
I'm going to steal his goddamn Pikachu.
So you want to know my opinion on alternate reality games, or augmented reality games, I suppose is the right name.
Okay,
it's absolutely really, really cool. Like, you've seen it with MMOs. You've seen some of the, I think the term is hobby board games. A lot of these things that are coming out sort of have as their side goal, besides creating a fun game to play, to be something that allows people to socialize in ways they otherwise wouldn't. And I've heard story after story after story about people who typically are, you know, just sit in their house or are too socially awkward, really, to get out there and, you know, go to places and see the sights. And now you have them going out sharing a passion with, you know, more people than are on Twitter now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the game officially dropped in Canada yesterday or Sunday. Yeah, yesterday. But the reality of it is people have been playing it up here for as long as they've been playing it in America. There's been some pretty easy ways to get the game before that. So I've been walking around my little neighborhood, which is actually very good for Pokemon. And there's a park probably about a 5-minute walk from my house that is constantly rammed with people playing this game. Like minimum of 50 people. I've seen upwards of, you know, 100, 200 people just sitting in this one area, talking with each other, showing each other their catches, taking out gymnasiums that are in the area. Like it's this incredible thing that you see it. Usually you only see it at cons where, you know, the, if you will, want to throw a title on that geek or that nerd, they feel at home. Well, this is giving people a real life everyday opportunity to have that experience. And I love the technology of the game. That's what really drew me in, was the augmented reality, the fact that I had seen Ingress, which is what this game is built on top of. Ingress, right, was a game that a coworker of mine a couple of years ago got me into, and it's basically, that's how all of these Pokestops were created, was that you could go find something interesting, take a picture of it, send it to them, and they would just make it a stop. So they took all of those stops, no matter who took those pictures or when, and that's what the initial Pokestops were from Ingress, the game, because it was purchased by Niantic and et cetera, et cetera. Now it's Pokemon Go. So the concept of the game, the technology of the game, was something I was familiar with, but also really liked what Pokemon did to it. Now, I know the server issues pushed a lot of people away in the first few weeks because it was very annoying. Even up here, it was very annoying. The last couple of days, though, for me, have been very stable. I got one issue that I think is just me, but I can't track anything anymore. All my Pokemon are always 3 stars. Now, they shift up and down depending on how close I am to them, but they all say 3 stars all the time.
Yeah. Honestly, though, like, for me, Pokemon Go really isn't my thing, because when I play games, generally I like to play games that have, I guess, a high skill ceiling. There's a lot to the game. But the funny thing is, making a deep and, you know, rich, engrossing game kind of wasn't the point. Right. The whole point was sort of to put this extra layer of interactivity and fun over top of your everyday world. And that's something I don't think can be understated. It's really genuinely impressive that they've, one, created a game that works so seamlessly and has, frankly, at least for a time, completely changed the social atmosphere of, well, America and everywhere else the game is out. I don't know that it's out worldwide yet.
It's getting there, yeah.
But, and also, you know, they have freaking more users than Twitter. You know, of course there are going to be some early hiccups, because generally how these things work is there's a rush the first 10 or 20, you know, sorry, try that again. There's a rush the first week or two, and then after that, like 80, 90% of the players drop off. So why build server architecture for 100,000 people if your every week player base is only going to be 10,000? I think they just ended up drastically underestimating the initial rollout and how persistent and how long people would play.
Well, I think, frankly, and they can control this as well as they want to, the game will keep its people playing until most people have caught all of the Pokemon. There's a clearly a strong bunch of people that love the gymnasium aspect of it, and I'm sure they'll introduce ability to battle other trainers or trade Pokemon, all that sort of stuff that's not currently in the game. But I honestly think that once the collection aspect has kind of reached its apex, you'll find people drop off in the game, because that's the big draw for me, is to catch the ones that I haven't found yet. And I've only found half of them, you know, and from I'm being told, that's pretty good, so.
Yeah, my wife and I were just discussing that, actually, sort of what the, if you'll forgive me from borrowing from MMO parlance, sort of the late end game is going to be. Right. Like, what's the core game loop going to be once everyone's caught Pokemon? Do the gyms have enough depth, or do they need to add more? And I suppose it remains to be seen.
I mean, if you go to a gym in a group, you definitely have a better chance at it. Like, the thing about being older is I don't obviously want to make people uncomfortable. There's been some assholes who have already used this game to nefarious ends, and I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. So I, you know, even when I'm in these big crowds of people, I keep to myself. So it's not a lack of desire to be social. It's the fact that, you know, some people have been using this for bad means. And I kind of agree with the end game thing. Like, I don't know if it'll be strong enough, at least in its current form. And I can't see them doing too many software upgrades for the probably first 6 months of this game.
Yeah, I mean, there's already plenty to do as it stands. So, you know, just kind of let the player base kind of even out, figure out what the core engagement people are doing is, see where they can add features or, you know, demonstrate content that people aren't engaging with. I think there's a lot of, there's nowhere to go but up. And that's something to be said for a game that has been this massively successful.
I mean, I'm about to next, or actually this week, in a couple of days, go down to, you know, the geek prom, if you will, in San Diego Comic Con. And something, yes, yeah, sorry, Joey, something that I found out is that the city of San Diego has basically given out free Wi-Fi to the entire city.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be massive down there. I'm not going to sit there and say it's probably going to be good Wi-Fi. My guess is it's going to be crap. But the whole city has been given free Wi-Fi a month after Pokemon Go has been released. And you're bringing all the people who have probably ever played this game to one city.
Oh, mother of God.
It's going to be insane. It's just, there's going to be lures everywhere.
Well, I mean, they could have the fattest pipe of Wi-Fi you could imagine, and when you have that many people, yeah, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I've unlocked my phone, and I'll be buying a SIM when I get down there just because I don't trust it. I think it's, if there was no Pokemon Go, I might have tried it, but since there is, no, because nobody will want to use their data plan.
Oh, God.
Like, I am terrified to see my data bill at the end of this month. I am absolutely terrified. I haven't gone over yet, and I haven't checked my usage. I'm almost afraid to do that. But, you know, the fact that I'm going to San Diego for 4 days and I won't be on my data plan is almost pretty much a blessing at this point, because I'm terrified.
There is a little tip and trick for you, in case you don't know, and in case anybody else doesn't know this. When you install Pokemon Go, it also uses the same information as Google Maps. So if you have Google Maps installed, it actually cuts the amount of data that you need to use in half.
I did not know that, but I do have it. So that's actually very exciting to hear.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. I've enjoyed this game. And I actually caught the Pikachu legitimately. I didn't do the starter trick.
Rub it in. Just
say it again, but let's move on. I don't want to piss Joey off more than I already have. Okay, so let's get into some of these geeky passions. Obviously, game design is a big one. But what are some of the other ones you got, Jim?
Well, I mean, the two biggest things, aside from obviously games, game design, rather, is I play all kinds of games. And that comes back to, you know, both absorbing them from a critical eye, just like, what can I learn, or just, you know, simply for enjoyment. Well, the other one is cooking. I do a lot of private cooking. I'm not good enough or have the patience to be an actual chef or anything, but I at least like to, you know, just make nice meals for my friends. It's pretty, it's a fun thing. Like, the thing that I love about food and cooking actually kind of calls back to one of the things I love about games. It's a thing to bring people together. And one of the advantages that food does that games don't is that everyone's got to eat. So, you know, you have the opportunity to make something nice for people, you know, expose them to different cuisines, different cultures, bring disparate groups of people to the table, or just make your wife happy by making her a nice pot of Dijon chicken stew.
Dijon chicken stew. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, I'm a big one pot guy. I just make, you know, fairly simple meals, but I try to make them taste good.
I like cooking. The problem I have is when I come home from work and I'm drained, I sometimes have the lack of motivation to do it. Because when I want to cook right, it takes time. And when I come home from work and I'm rolling in the door at 6:30 and, you know, the wife's rolling at the same time, we just kind of look at each other like,
yeah, nope.
What do you want? Because it's got to be quick.
You know, funny you should mention that, because when I talk to people who are new to cooking or, you know, don't know what they want to, don't know how they can do it, there's a book I constantly turn them to, Michael Simon's 5 in 5. It assumes you have some pantry staples like dry pasta, all the spices, things like that. But the whole shtick is they're dishes that you need 5 or fewer fresh ingredients and take 5 or fewer minutes of cook time. And it really delivers, like, including prep time and getting everything ready. You can have a meal ready in 20 minutes, and it's delicious.
We have a lot of cookbooks here, and we have quite a few of 30-minute meals. Very similar idea. I find that some of them are you know, honor that 30-minute prep, you know, included kind of time, and others not so much. So it depends on the book. But it's good to hear. 5 and 5. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, again, I like cooking. It's just... how tired am I?
For those of you, and by no means I'm not promoting this next company, but I'm just going to throw it out there. For those of you who like to live the loot crate lifestyle, there is this thing, at least over here, called Blue Apron, and you can subscribe for different dividends worth of money, and they each week they send you already
like pre-measured stuff. Like,
for the most part, it's kind of like already cut up, like your vegetables or whatever. But then they send you like the right amount of proportions of meat with info cards on a bunch of the product, and then it gives you the big giant recipe card with like beautiful color pictures. And the first one that we tried, because we saw it, we were like, oh, let's give it a shot. You know, we have a $20 trial. The first one we got has become my most favorite meal. It totally took over pizza, and that's really hard for anything to do. And it was this pork roast, and it was amazing. And the way that you cook the carrots, you just dice the carrots up, and you drizzle them with olive oil and a little salt pepper, and you pop it in the oven, and oh my god, it's so good.
Dude, yeah. Honestly, roasting, especially vegetables, like, if... My recommendation to anyone who doesn't like a vegetable is try tossing it with some oil, salt, and pepper and roasting it, and it'll change your mind.
I seriously could just do an entire meal of just the way that the carrots were done. I could live off that. It was so good.
I grew up in your typical British household when it came to cooking. A lot of stuff boiled, a lot of stuff, you know, roasted together. Not a lot of spice use. So when I started cooking on my own, I just, every spice that I had seen but never tasted in my life, which was almost all of them, because we had 3 spices growing up. We had salt, pepper, and something called seasoning salt. That was literally at my house growing up. So I go crazy with, I even have saffron in my pantry that I use, but I went crazy on all these different spices, and I love curries, and I love all these exotic flavors. But recently, we've been dealing with some stuff in terms of the diet at home, and we've gone back to more of a basic food thing, and the salt and pepper with a little bit of oil is beautiful now. If it's done right, it can be very, very good.
Yeah, seasoning is half the battle. You really don't need a lot of spices. In fact, if you add too many, often you can just end up with food that tastes muddy. Honestly, just use 1 or 2 of them and you're in really good shape.
Less is more.
Exactly.
Jim, I have to ask, if you took your knowledge of cooking right now and you put it into the cooking skill in World of Warcraft, what would your score be right now?
All right, so remind me what the minimum and maximum numbers are.
Well, minimum, 1. I believe, would be, like, 0.
Well, yeah.
And then, right now, mine only allows me to go to...
What is it, 5 times your level is your maximum?
No, it changes.
Because especially with Legion coming out, right now, because until I hit 75, I can't train for a higher thing, so mine caps right now at 525, and I think people are saying that they're going to cap at 700, but I've only seen one of my things cap at 6 right now, so I'm like, I think the 700 will hit when Legion comes out.
So let's pretend 0 to 600?
Yeah.
I would say 350. Definitely more than the average, and definitely enough that I can, you know, comfortably make most dishes, but I don't think I'm exactly an expert. I'm more of a, you know, well-experienced, knowledgeable amateur.
He's an illustrious artisan.
There yeah, you that's go. Probably a good way to put it.
And let's transition from that question into more questions, Joey.
Yay!
Let's do some rapid fire.
I still have scars from the last one.
That old chestnut.
All right, are you ready for the rapid fire?
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Oh, it's been brought in.
We'll see.
And it, yeah. Yeah, you'll see. All right, favorite color?
Blue. A little more toward the green side, like cyan, so don't throw me off the bridge.
You already got your cement shoes on. Just wait for it. You went to the explanation. I'm like, oh, Queen's going to bring it.
You do you.
Are you a morning person or a night person?
Actually, a little bit more afternoon, like afternoon into early evening. God help me, I'm a grumpy cat if I get up before about 10 a.m., but get enough coffee into me, get some breakfast, and, you know, I can go, my brain works pretty well until about 7 or 8, so right when we started recording.
Great timing. We got him drifting into his danger zone.
Your spirit animal.
You know, I gave you a bit more of a long-winded answer, but I'm going to keep it simple this time. I'd have to say the pug. Nice and mellow, you know, likes a comfy place to sit, likes a treat to nom on, but otherwise just, you know, likes to relax, be happy, and be around good people.
Favorite TV show of all time?
Oh, wow. That's hard because, one, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but the TV I do watch is usually pretty good. Honestly, I watch a lot of Food Network, and probably the one I always think back to is Good Eats, Alton Brown's piece. He'd like pick an ingredient, like let's do several things about eggs and dig into the science behind it. You know, sort of Julia Child meets Bill Nye. It's not on anymore. Alton Brown still does a few things on Food Network, but none of them are quite as educational. But if you can find them on Netflix or, you know, Cooking Channel or things like that, definitely worth checking out if you're at all into food. It's definitely worth a watch.
What is your worst habit?
Procrastination, mostly driven by lack of self-confidence. On that, you know, it's nice and cheery, but it's just a matter of, I want to do the thing. No, you can't do the thing. Do the thing. Come on, do the thing. And then I start doing the thing and everything's great.
Which letter in the alphabet best describes you?
God. The first one that comes to mind is S, but I don't even begin to have an idea why.
Okay, what is your favorite book?
That's a tough one. Most recently I read was a book by Nate Silver, who you might know from 538, started out as a statistical analysis of political polls. That's branched out to a few other things. But he's written a book called The Signal and the Noise, which is all about why, you know, there's some people who make a living on all kinds of prediction and, you know, calling electoral races, doing the weather, and why even if there's a lot of variance in somebody's predictions, you can end up with people who are more often right than wrong. You yell at the weatherman every time he gets it wrong, but just because of the nature of calling the weather, you're going to get it wrong pretty often, so you have to look at the long term, and that's something that people miss. And he gets into a lot of the detail on why some of those predictions are just so damn hard. Definitely worth reading.
If you were a member of the Teletubbies, which one would you be?
I have absolutely no idea about anything about the Teletubbies, I hate to say.
Okay, just for a little recap, I fleshed out the rapid fire, and the last time Blair threw out the Spice Girls one, and I'm like, I have to change this one up a little bit. I have to make a new staple.
You do you.
All right. What was the last DVD that you ever purchased?
DVD. Actually, there were 8 of them, and they were all really campy 70s and 80s action movies. A couple 90s in there as well. We watched Bad Boys 2 and I think Die Hard, but I also picked up Predator, Aliens, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Underworld, and that'll make more sense soon when we're talking about a few other things, but you know, one of my big projects is a role-playing game devoted to those kind of action movies, so whether it was field research or just, you know, me indulging in a little bit of mindless entertainment, I'll leave that to you to decide.
You know, when you said Die Hard and Bad Boys 2, all I could think of was Hot Fuzz. It was the first thing that popped to mind.
What? And you know, what's funny is Hot Fuzz, I mean, you know this, Joey, I'm sure. Hot Fuzz, for those of you who might not be aware, same guy who did Shaun of the Dead, so kind of kind of a spiritual successor.
The Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah, that's the one. Hot Fuzz actually lifts a lot of its plot and even a lot of its shot-for-shot details from Bad Boys 2 just as a faithful homage.
I didn't realize that, but then again, I haven't seen Bad Boys 2 since I was, like, 12.
I mean, they even use the line, shit just got real. Like, they watch Bad Boys 2, and, the guy leans over, like, and starts firing into the air, and sure enough, they start dropping those lines later on, because, like, all of these cliches end up turning out to be true.
All right, Cooking Master, if you could describe yourself as a flavor, what would it be?
Wow. Soy sauce.
Salty.
Something, you know, umami, nice and, you know, not really a major player. Like, it's not, you don't eat something and it tastes like soy, but something that just enhances everything else around it.
And finally, how awesomely amazing is Toronto Gal?
You know, for everything that I've had the opportunity to do with Team Human, I haven't had as much opportunity to interact with Toronto Gal as I'd like to, so I guess let me throw this back to you. You know, why don't you tell me your favorite thing about her?
Well, for me, when it comes to Toronto Gal, as I've said before, she, without her, honest to God, she's the staples, she is the glue and binding, and the three-ring binder that keeps the entire Team Human community together. Again, I mean, I realize, yes, Felicia and Ryan are responsible really for kickstarting it, you know, without meaning to. But since then, Toronto Gal, she's been what's held it together. And without her, I think it would just fall apart. And that's why I feel like she's one of those finite points of in time. Like, there's no rewriting her, there's no destroying her, and there's no re-envisioning her. She is, has, and always will be Toronto Gal.
You know, like, I kind of picture her like a bass player in a funny way, where, you know, Felicia and Ryan might be the lead singer and lead guitarist, respectively, but you've got to have that bass player sitting there and, you know, keeping the rhythm going, keeping everyone together, and letting everyone kind of riff off of it. And, you know, it's just sort of the glue that doesn't always get noticed, but without which everything falls apart. And, you know, just hearing a couple of things you guys say and, you know, seeing most recently, I think it was Allison Appreciation Day. Yeah. No one would do these things or say these things about her if she wasn't a wonderful human being.
She's one of the best. I think everybody's had one-on-one conversations with her. If not everybody, most people. She's just, I mean, I rave about her all the time. I don't even remember, you know, all the good things that I've said, because there's just so many. She's kind of how this podcast came to its current form. She's somebody who's always been very encouraging and uplifting and positive towards people individually and as a group. She's organizing things. Like, she created a group of a Twitter group for humans that are going to San Diego Comic-Con just so we could talk to each other, so we could find each other, so we could organize within each other. She's getting the word out about the pop-up party. She's doing, and she's not even going to be there. She's just doing these things because the community has a need and she's filling it. And that is her. She finds ways of doing that daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, daily. And it's just incredible.
And you can't do something like that and be as stalwart like that without being full of love. So, you know what? If the whole nature of Team Human is let's be excellent to each other, I can see why it is the way it is now.
Yeah, I mean, when we take our cues from the best, we can be nothing but the best ourselves. So, all right, so let's get into the suggestion section, which this week will also roll into the promo section. We got a very unique opportunity here with Jim, and we're gonna seize it. We're gonna take it. So, to if you want to put the slate on the suggestion section, let's slate it right now, and let's set up a game. A game of your design. Take it away, Jim.
Actually, let me correct you on one thing. This isn't actually my game. This is a game by one of the most influential designers I know, by the name of Vincent Baker. He's the guy who wrote a game called Apocalypse World. Now, if you haven't heard of Apocalypse World, I would forgive you. It's, you know, one of those games that is sort of you kind of have to be in the know on indie RPGs to know it. But what I will tell you is it kicked off a revolution with games like, you almost certainly have heard of Dungeon World. I know Geek and Sundry has talked about that before, as well as a whole host of others to follow. Monster Hearts, Monster of the Week, The Sprawl. There's just plenty of them. And one of the things that he created is a series of nano games called The Sundered Land. And the one we're going to play is actually designed for the internet and social media, which is why we thought it'd be a great thing to kind of drop it on a Facebook page and see what it was. So this game is called A Doomed Pilgrim in the Ruins of the Future. And the way it's going to work is I'm the player. Now, you know, you think I'd show up, I'd be the GM. No, I'm running the game, sure, I suppose, but I'm also going to be the one and only player. Everyone else, you know, Joey, Blair, anyone who cares to play is going to play the world. So let me tell you the story. I'm a warrior seeking peace and an end to bloodshed. I'm on a pilgrimage to the Temple of No Gods in the distant city of Gulls. My pilgrimage has brought me to the Grey Hills, inhabited by warring cannibal clans. My goal is to pass safely through and continue on my pilgrimage. You, my friends online, play the world. Your goal is to see me to my doom instead of safely on my way. But you might not be able to do it because you're only allowed to answer my direct questions. So here are the rules we're going to be playing by. You can only answer my direct questions. If you don't already know the answer, just make something up. Keep your answers short. I have the right to delete disruptive answers, but I don't think we'll have a problem with that. Otherwise, I have to go with the first answer someone suggests and I'll mark it. And otherwise, I have a list of rules that I'm going to follow behind the scenes. Y'all are going to try to make it so that I die horribly.
All right, so the way this is going to work is Jim is actually going to post this that he just told you on our Facebook page at the Human Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WhoPod, not the Human page, WhoPod page, my apologies. And this is where you guys are going to play this game. This is why I've been promoting the site, been trying to push you guys towards the site. It was for Jim's game. So I want you guys, he's going to post that after this podcast goes live, and play this game with us on online social media. Jim will be running it. Jim will be the person that you all need to kill. Enjoy. So that is the end of our, per se, suggestion section, but we're going to transition into the promo section. So promote away, my friends. Promote your friends, promote yourself, promote what you do.
All right. Well, right now, I have a series of games that are sort of all in development. I suppose my capstone project right now is a game called Measure of a Badass. That's something I actually had an opportunity to build it over like 4 years. There's a couple small cons I've run it at, but I got an opportunity to play test it last year at Gen Con, and it was a blast. I got a lot of really good feedback, but the game is pretty much feature complete, but it's in open beta right now. just need to get some art and layout and things like that, and it'll eventually get published, print on demand, possibly a Kickstarter to follow. We'll just have to see what happens on that. But it's a game, it's sort of rules medium, not quite rules light like the Sundered Land is, but it's not quite as in-depth as something like D&D, I'm not tracking feet. But it's about, all right, so you've seen the action movie The Expendables, or at least heard of it, I assume?
Of course.
So,
yes.
I love the premise of that, like, get all of the heroes from action movies of the 80s and 70s, so get John McClane and Tequila Yuen and MacGyver and Rambo and, you know, Knight Rider, and put them all on the same team and then thrust them into the modern day and, you know, try to take on black and white kind of, you know, the evil guys are evil, the good guys are good. It's basically sort of a modern retelling of old school action movies. And you know, that kind of comes back to the kind of escapism I see in that kind of thing. Like, in a lot of action movies these days, they're all worlds, you know, shades of gray. Everybody's kind of bad in their own way. You know, life just isn't as simple as there are good guys and there are bad guys. But one of the things I loved about old action movies was, you know, it really was that simple. You knew the bad guys were bad. You needed, you know, and they needed to get shot in order for good to prevail and everyone to be okay. So sort of, in a funny way, it almost ends up being like a power fantasy in a funny way. Like, we are really awesome people all together to do something really important. And, you know, that's something I appreciate from a lot of that old media. Like, what if the world really was, what if you really could save the world with one action? You put yourself in those shoes and see what you'd do. The other one, a couple of games I'm working on right now, one of them I posted on Team Human's Facebook page, is called Psycom, which is a game about psychokinetic soldiers and investigators in the 32nd century. You know, sort of finding the cracks in utopia and solving problems there. And another one is inspired by the recently released Overwatch called Vanguard, but that one's not quite ready for prime time yet, but that'll come out here in a little bit. But all of those, you can go to the Measure of a Badass page on Facebook. A couple of the other games I've linked to on Team Human if you dig up the post. But, you know, like I think we mentioned earlier, I stand on the shoulders of giants. If you want to get into a lot of the indie RPGs, kind of see what these rules light and, you know, really esoteric games are about, a couple of the onboarding points I'd recommend. Vince Baker is the guy who made The Sundered Land, which is the game we'll be playing, as well as Apocalypse World. And Apocalypse World I found was so interesting because it sort of dispenses with the whole notion of everything has stats, you know, here's the list of enemies. And it's just, let's see what happens if we look at people who are important in a community 50 years after the world exploded and everything was terrible, and, you know, just see how they get on day to day. Embedded into the mechanics are really progressive ideas about identity, sexuality. It's a really, really one of a kind piece that I highly recommend. The PDF is actually pretty cheap if you want to look it up. Dungeon World, of course, is probably a pretty good onboarding place because it uses the same style as D&D, but introduces those same mechanics from Apocalypse World. But probably, like, if you're going to just pick something up and play it one day, the one guy I got to recommend above all others is John Harper of 1-7 Design. There's a game he made called Lady Blackbird, which all the characters are pre-generated. There's 5 or 6 roles. You pick them up and you go and you tell a story and we see what happens. You know, the mechanics are really simple. You have a pool of 6-sided dice. You roll them to see if you succeed at things or not. But it's all about telling a story first and simulation second. And it really is as simple as pick it up and play it. No prep required. And he's got a lot of other good stuff in the pipe right now. His current project, Blades in the Dark, is another one worth looking into. But yeah, I it's there's a lot of really great RPGs out there besides D&D, and I don't want to sell D&D short because it's an amazing piece of work. But there's so many others out there worth checking out.
Very cool. Very cool. So I guess that was awesome in what you do promotional wise. Where can people find you on the social media? I heard you mentioned the Measure of the Badass's Facebook page.
I mean, on Facebook, I'm Jim Dagg. On Twitter, I'm at TheAgentZero. I have mostly a Tumblr mostly full of reblogs. That's not really all that interesting. The main place you're going to find me is on Facebook, and especially floating around in Team Hooman. I'm a friendly guy. I mean, feel free to reach out and chat if you want to talk to me about games or food or the weather, you know.
Both Jim and I were on an Overwatch team that participated, I think I mentioned earlier, in the Team Hooman Overwatch tournament that was hosted on the All for Geek Alliance by Jody, trainer Jody, and it was a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. We had a couple of teams that were pretty polished.
There was a pro level team in there, wasn't there?
They were a streamer team for sure. I wouldn't say pro level, but they were very good, and they play with each other all the time. Jim and I were on a team that we literally had never played with each other at all, and we went 3-3 in the tournament,
two and two
in the tournament. We lost to the top two teams, and we almost beat the second place team, who were very good as well. They had a wonderful Tracer player on that team, goes by the name of Lark, the handle.
Oh, wow.
And she is just unbelievable at this game. That's all I gotta say, is I could not get anywhere, because I would come out of my spawn and there's Lark just back and forth, and I wouldn't even be able to get to the point of contention because she was just so good.
Yeah, I can't recommend Overwatch enough. Even, you know, I don't really like multiplayer games all that much, and I love Overwatch. Like, it's everything to me that League of Legends wants to be, but without a lot of the toxicity. It's really easy to pick up and play, and there are some really fun people. Like, a lot of the people we played on in Team Hooman are just happy to jump into games with people.
Like, I was talking with Giggles, Ricky McChrystal, and he was on Teamy McTeamface, and basically our team played them in the first game, and we beat them fairly handily, and then they played the second game and a very similar thing happened. So they decided they were going to just have fun from that point forward. They all came out as same characters, and they were absolutely just having a ton of fun with the game. And I was talking with Ricky, he goes, we could not care less that we didn't win a game. And they showed up into the last match, and they had one of their players who was like straight out of, you know, the Highlands of Scotland, dropped word for word the Braveheart speech on them as they were in the warm-up area. And they went out there and they absolutely destroyed in their last game. And he did it again for the next game, and it happened the same deal. So he's like, you know what, we clearly weren't the best players in the tournament, but man, did we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, they made a mark. It was really cool to see.
No, it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it, and I hope to see that there will be another one in the future.
I gotta hand it to Joey. He did a great job. Jody. He did a great job of both setting it up and even the play-by-play, like the way he had the stream going. It was just really cool to see. And he did the whole damn thing himself. I cannot believe he managed to handle that level of administration and still, you know, run something that went so well and we had so much fun with it. So all the love in the world to him for doing something amazing.
That was pretty cool. All right, Mr. Couture, who I forgot to introduce as the lovely Joey today. That's my bad, man.
It's okay. You know, I know where you live.
You do. It's a small country, I swear. Yeah, so Joey, where can people find you, and what are you up to?
All right, so you can find me on YouTube, Joey Couture, and for anybody who's been wondering where Rise of the Tomb Raider Abridged, it will be returning next week, I promise. So there you go. You get a timeline as to when to expect it to return. I had originally anticipated that during June it was going to have something for you guys, but unfortunately, you know, real life.
Life gets in the way.
You have to deal with it. So it will be returning next week, I do promise. Hopefully having enough time to catch up to be like on par where Felicia has left off. You can also find me on Twitter at Joey Couture. And you can also, on my Twitter, you can see the really awesome Enrico the Deer limited edition realness all in pink.
It's beautiful.
There you go.
Isn't it, though? It's so adorable. Let's see.
And that was created by Andy Tarks, former guest?
Yes, it was, actually. Yeah. And it was what I still think back to that one tweet, you know, where he had just barely started it. He's like, all right, we're down to two legs and a butt. And somebody posted, that's hot. I think of that every time now.
I'm constantly amazed at the kind of skills that Team Human, that members of Team Human put out. Like, it's Agreed. Really cool to see.
It what really was it? Is.
We were doing that podcast, and it's like, I'm sure we have a mask maker in Team Human. And within a day, Tierlin had found it.
Really? I didn't know. I didn't actually know she found one.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but they found one within a day. It was that quick.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
There's every talent of the rainbow in Team Human. I without a word of a lie, I swear by it. I do.
Oh, pretty nice. Solid. Also, let's see. Pokemon Go, I'm just going to promote Team Valor. That's my team. I haven't fought in the gym yet, but that's simply because every freaking Pokemon I've been finding is Zubat and Spearow and Pidgey. So if you're short on those, just come by my neck of the woods and you'll find one.
Hey, my wife's Valor, so I can't talk too much crap.
Also, for those of you who are World of Warcraft enthusiasts and either want to return to the game for when Legion comes out, or if you're looking for a different server to play on and maybe find a new guild, I am a proud member on Proudmoore of the Gamer... Blair, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Best part is you just click on his face and he says his name on command.
I'd be happy even with a Pichu, for crying out loud. Anyway. So yeah, World of Warcraft, I'm on Proudmoore, and I'm part of Gamers United, Gaymer. It's really inclusive of anybody, you know, you do not have to actually be a member of the LGBT community per se. They're really inclusive, so long as you're, you know, a good person, by all means you can join. It is a combination of actually three guilds: Gamers United, Gamers Alliance, and I want to say Legion of Gamers for the Horde side. So they did expand into both sides for anybody who is strictly Horde.
Yeah, you were telling me that guilds can only hold 1,000 people, so that just tells you how many people these guys have attracted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that and people love to have their alts. especially, like, when you think about it, like, on a server, you're only allowed to have, like, 11, so...
It's pretty crazy. That's a lot of players.
Yeah, it is a lot. And you can also find the same group through Curse Chat, and you can also find them on Facebook and at gamersunited.com for anybody that's interested in those. And I think that's all the things. If Tierlin was here, unfortunately, life has taken over for her. She has become a very, 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 very busy girl. There is also such thing as Honey Roast, for those of you who are familiar with roasting people online, where they post a picture of themselves and they get negative feedback. If you would prefer the exact 180, hop on over to Facebook and join Honey Roast, where you post a picture with a sign saying, you know, honey roast me, especially like if you're just having a bad day, or, you know, you need something positive in your life. By all means, go there, Honey Roast.
Absolutely. And also make sure to check her out on Amazon.com.ca. Whatever country you are in. Both Broken Dolls and Shattered Girls are doing very well there. Pick up her books. She's got another book on there that she's not so proud about that I may have highlighted in the last episode. But for sure, check out her Broken Dolls and her Shattered Girls. These are doing very well. They're both very good books, and they're in the horror genre. And there's more books to come, as she has talked to both Joey and I about. She's got an insane amount of book ideas that she just wants to put to paper. And it doesn't take her long to actually get it on paper. She's incredibly efficient. So
I'm jealous.
Yeah, so just wait for more for Tierlin moving forward.
She reminds me of the character in one of Stephen King's stories where he's got, like, so many manuscripts, like, just locked away in a vault. And it's like, okay, I have to, publish 3 this year. Let me decide what 3 I want. And then just pulls it out of the vault and sends it off. Like, that's what I picture her.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, I she's not really that far off. Like, she's told us that she's got a bunch of, unedited, fresh draft stuff that's just kind of picking and choosing what she wants to use next. She's a very talented girl, if you guys hadn't noticed.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing about being creative, is having, you have enough fires in the oven that, you might put a couple projects together, but sooner or later you're going to find a combination that works.
Absolutely. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, all of the things. Blair Beveridge. Last name is Beveridge. I've been asked that a couple times because people keep saying, I'm going to Blair Beveridge and you're not there. And I'm like, well, it's not my name. So you can find me on all those things at WhoPod, at Webisode Watch. I'm going to be blowing the dust off of Webisode Watch, actually. I'm going to be filming something later this week, which will roll me into my next little section, which will be heavy on the San Diego Comic-Con side. And I'm not trying to rub this in, Joy, I swear to God. So heading down to San Diego Comic-Con, fly out in a couple days. I'm hoping this episode can be aired before I leave. That is the goal. If not, it'll be as soon as I get back or while I'm down there, depending on internet connectivity. So I'm going to be down there, and I'm going to be wearing WhoPod t-shirts. I got a couple of them. I got one in white and one in blue. And if you see me wearing that WhoPod t-shirt, that means I got a microphone in my pocket. And I'm not just happy to see you. Poor taste. Rimshot. Anyway, so if you come by and find me, I will have a bunch of short questions. You may all be getting the Toronto Gal question. You may all be getting... one other, I can't remember what it is now that I've said that, but you may be getting a couple similar questions, but you're going to pull a question out of the bag and you can answer it. Or if you don't like that one, you can go grab another one. I want to get as many of these short interviews with you guys as I possibly can. When I get back, I'll put them all together and we'll send out a San Diego Comic-Con special for WhoPod. A bunch of really short interviews. Please come find me. Please come in there. Get interviewed. This is a great opportunity for us all to communicate and talk with each other. Secondly, if you are going to San Diego Comic-Con and you are on Twitter and you are not on the San Diego Comic-Con Twitter group yet, contact Toronto Gal. She will get you on that group. There's a bunch of us in there talking about the things we're going to be doing, tips and tricks for those who have been there before and those who have not. It's been a great, invaluable resource for me. This will be my first trip, so they're organizing get-togethers. They're talking about when we can best do things A through Z and communicate. Pokemon Go is a very popular conversation topic in there right now. There's a lot going on. So if you're going down to San Diego Comic-Con and you're on the Twitters, contact Allison and she'll get you on that list. You don't even have to talk. You can just read what everyone else is saying. Next, I'm not even going to get anything anymore. I think I'm going to leave it at that. So San Diego Comic-Con, come say hello to me. I want to interview each and every one of you humans. Follow at WhoPod for further details. And check us out on our Facebook page where a couple of things are going on. First of all, we're going to have, as mentioned earlier, Jim's game that we want you all to participate in. And the second thing is I am naming all my Pokemon characters after humans. So if you want to be named after one, tell me which one you want to be named after, and I will do so. And I will post a picture of it on the Facebook page, as I have with the others who have requested to this point.
I already called dibs on Pikachu, so there you go.
Well, once I see it on the Facebook page, then you could be the Pikachu. Nobody's claimed it yet.
VIP.
Do you really want me to have my Pikachu
named Joey Couture. So I said, Joey Couture, Pikachu. Joey Couture, Pikachu. I'm sorry. I'm an asshole. Anyway, so let's wrap this up. Thank you once again, Jim, for being our guest once again.
Pleasure and a privilege.
On the show, and I'm fairly certain that this one's going to be pretty solid. So, and once again, thanks to Joey for co-hosting, and to Tierlin, we hope to see you back on Who Pod soon. So until next time, guys, take care.
So long.